I'm sitting in the kitchen of Eleanor Owen in Seattle. Eleanor, can we review the facts about what happened with your son?
He began to grow more isolated maybe when he was 15 or 16. And I thought, well, you know, he's very bright. He's now beginning to think about what he'll do when he grows up and all of that. But when he became 17, I first noticed his extreme bizarre behavior. And the tragedy here is that we simply could not get him hospitalized. That when we tried, he hadn't done anything. He was not an apparent threat to himself or others.
And this was the 1970s, and by the time he was 21, he shot a man in a bar, right?
Right. What he did was got dressed up as a cowboy and apparently went to the bar and shot a bullet up into the ceiling. Several of the customers jumped on him, and in the fray, someone was killed. He went to Western for almost, I think, 6 or 7 years.
And he was diagnosed at some point along the way with.
With schizophrenia. Oh, clearly he was delusional.
So, what lessons did you learn 35 years ago that still resonate today?
What happened in the Connecticut schoolroom was so heinous that everyone is disturbed by it and wants something to change. We should do something with assault weapons and make them unavailable for the general public. But the underlying problem here is relative to people with bona fide severe mental illnesses, people who are clearly hallucinating. Those individuals need to be in a protected environment for themselves and for the public. And since 1960, actually, when we began to close down state hospitals, and in many ways, that was the decent thing to do, because prior to that, they didn't have medications. People were actually put in cells or kept in body armor for weeks on end. It was horrendous. However, that's not what hospitals are like today. And severely mentally ill people, like that young 20-year-old who must have been showing signs in school or with the neighbors, and clearly he was in need of some care, something other than no care. And that's very painful for me. Even in Washington State, where we have a law that says an individual that is gravely disabled shall be evaluated, and that doesn't happen either. It doesn't happen.
Are you saying that for a young adult who's delusional and refuses treatment, that it should be easier to give compulsory treatment to lock them up somewhere?
I would say that an involuntary commitment to a more welcoming environment is what I think is most needed.
Your own son has made a recovery of sorts, hasn't he?
Yes, my son has recovered. He went back to school, got straight A's, decided he wanted to be a carpenter, works for a fabulous cabinet maker, lives independently, and is truly a productive member of our society. That can happen to anyone given the kind of support and treatment that they require. He's on medication and will be on medication for the rest of his life, just as people on diabetes or people with heart ailments are. So it's unfair to keep people locked up, but it's more unfair to prevent them from getting early intervention and treatment.
Then, looking forward, if there were a way to try to prevent things like this from happening, what do you think it takes?
I think it's acknowledging that the people who know the individual with mental illness best are the people that are closest to those individuals, and that neighbors, landlords, family members, teachers, professors, friends need to have more say-so in an early intervention. And I think that we need more local treatment programs that people can go voluntarily. I think that we need more alcohol and substance abuse programs. I want a little more common sense and a little more compassion, not just for the theoretical rights, but for that human being. That's what I would love to see happen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for asking me.
Eleanor Owen is a Seattle resident and a founder of the National Alliance for Mental Illness. I'm Keith Seinfeld, KPLU News.